Because it was the day we were getting ready for Passover. It was a Sunday, and I got an email that morning, and it was a video from a friend, and I made Taya come in and sit on the couch and look at the video again after I had watched it. Matter of fact, I called her from where she was in the back of the house, and we watched it again, and we're both sitting there just kind of overcome by this video. And it was the song, How I Love Thy Law, O Lord, sung and arranged by a man in Australia named Jeff Robertson. It was done very beautifully. He had also taken photographs of many beautiful sites in the area where he lives, Brisbane and the coast north of that and the mountains north of that. And we started talking, and of course I corresponded with Jeff and his wife. We'd actually met them. They came and visited the United States. He went to Ambassador College in Pasadena, but I did not know him there. But we didn't actually attend the feast with them. That was one of the years that I had eye problems and had to stay home. So we'd only spent maybe 24 hours with his family beforehand, but it started Day and I talking, and we said, well, what if we went to Australia? And I said, well, yeah, what if? And then slowly the what if started becoming possible. And we started starting conversations with the phrase, well, you know, while we still can, this might be the time to do it. We did it. It was absolutely wonderful. We had the best, not just the best feast of our lives, but one of the best times of our life. It was just incredible from our point of view. And I'd like to share some of that with you at this point. I have a picture up on my iPad at work this morning. I don't know what to do at this point. I think I'm connected here. Well, anyway, as we're only too well aware at this point, it's a very long flight to Australia. Once we got to L.A., we still had another 14 hours ahead of us. What's that? I don't know. We just plugged it in and did it this morning. Let me just check the...
Probably be under settings somewhere. Where's your settings at?
Well, settings are here, but share was where I just had it. Do you mind if I just check back there? I'm sorry, we just plugged it in and it worked this morning. No, none of those. Well, when in doubt, unplug and plug in again. I'm sorry. I don't know what I guess we'll just do it without photos. That looks like it. I have no idea what happened. But thank you, Joe. Thank you, God. Thank you, Stephen Jobs. Thank you, whoever. Okay. Well, here we are. And it was the Kawana Waters Feast Site, north of Brisbane, Australia. As you can tell, it's on a beach. One of the brethren took this picture after writing that in the sand, and I thought it would be a good title for the show. This was a picture of what the beach there looked like. It's pretty wonderful. I've never been to Panama City Beach or actually been allowed to go to a feast site that was anywhere near a beach before, but it turned out to be really nice. We got into Brisbane early on Friday morning after, I think, 36 hours of travel that, because of Dateline, ended up being stretched over 3 calendar days. This is normal to Australians, so it was very strange for us. But we were picked up at the airport, which was very nice. We were well taken care of the entire time. And then we were taken to a place called Mount Kutha, which is the highest point outside Brisbane. They thought, Jeff and Roxanne, his wife, thought that it would be a good introduction for us to see the city and the area. Also, they wanted to keep us awake till evening because we were fading fast. So not only did they take us to Mount Kutha, where we had a magnificent view, but they also, you can see the downtown area of Brisbane there in the background. Brisbane has a major river running through it, bigger than the Cuyahoga, and it's a big part of the city's culture and events. Also, one of the things that the Robertsons did, this was the cafe up there, was they taught us how to order coffee in Australia. We learned the words flat white very quickly, and we were to use them many times during the feast. So this is caffeinated Mark sitting with Roxanne and Jeff Robertson. This was my second cup. They just wanted to make sure that we were very caffeinated, because, of course, that's the perfect way to go into the Day of Atonement on Friday night. Anyway, we had an absolutely wonderful time with them. It was springtime over there. The jacaranda trees were blooming and many other things. There were actually tulips in some of the parks. They took us to Brisbane because we had reserved an Airbnb in downtown Brisbane near an area called the South Park. We had a few days before the feast, of course, and we were going to be taken to atonement services, so we didn't need a car. But they felt that we would enjoy staying in that area and enjoying what Brisbane had to offer. And it turned out to be absolutely magnificent. I think the little boat is showing up there on the river, but they have free transit rides up and down the river. You can take a bus, you can take a subway, but people also commute to work by that little the little tugboats. That's what they look like, that go up and down the river. The park is just beautiful. They've done a magnificent job. There's another view of the city hopper, they call the little ones. Now, the big ones that you pay for, that the commuters who need to get somewhere fast, are the city cats for catamaran. And it was just fun to see them going up and down the river. That really is how people got around. So we went to our Airbnb, and let's just say that we quickly discovered that we'd made a mistake. The Airbnb wasn't quite what we thought. And, of course, atonement was coming up. It probably would have been fine if I was a 21-year-old with a backpack and didn't actually need a chair to sit on or a clean bathroom or a towel that wasn't quite like sandpaper. The young man who was our host thought he was being quite hospitable, but Taya and I kind of rolled our eyes, and the Robertsons did when they dropped us off, too. It turned out it worked out very well, but that night, sunset was about 5:30, and we just crashed. We had had it, and that's when the karaoke started in the restaurant underneath us. It was hotter than blazes. We also found out that we would be sharing the Airbnb with another couple who were about our age. Turns out they were there for a ukulele convention. It was so cute. But a couple days later, they turned to us and said, "Do you know of any other place we could stay?" So we didn't feel alone in that department. Anyway, we made it through. There's an interesting series of emails from me to the Robertsons on the night preceding atonement, that was part of atonement. At 7:30, I'm saying, "Can you get us out of here?" And at 8:30, because he'd said it might be possible. And at 8:30, The email said, well, you know, we just found out how to open the window and there's a breeze now. Maybe we could survive. And then the next morning, it was like, hey, we're awake and we're ready to go to the park and we don't want to impose on anybody on atonement. Let's just see how this works out, because there was a major event happening in the park on Saturday night and we wanted to be part of it. So this is the Day of Atonement. We're walking around the park. There was this building. They have a sister city in Nepal and they had built this building. We sat down. We did a lot of sitting. We didn't do a lot of walking. It was Day of Atonement and we did not want to be in that Airbnb. But it was a glorious place. This was a friend we made that day. These water dragons are all around. He was about 3 feet long and perfectly charming, I thought. Didn't hold up his end of the conversation, but was happy to listen to me. It was just an absolutely beautiful park. The bougainvillea were blooming, the jacaranda trees, they had gardened it wonderful. There's an arbor that you can see made out of bougainvillea that you can walk under. There's bird of paradise blooming in the front. It was a wonderful day to be very thirsty and very hungry. Naturally, there were charming cafes all up and down. It was restaurant paradise, and it was Day of Atonement. And because we were suffering from jet lag, it was one of the hardest Day of Atonements just physically that I've ever been through. But we found a nice shady place to sit, and we made it through Atonement. Well, of course, we were going to go to services in the afternoon, and Jeff called and said, we have a solution. There's a young man who has a house way out in the, what they call the bush, we would call it the country. He said he would be very happy to have you stay with him. He's a very nice man. He happens to be the treasurer of the church for all of Australia. His name is Derek Lewis. And if you were to tell me he was an angel, I would believe you. He was so nice to us. And we went out to check out the house, like we were going to say no at that point, you know, but they wanted us to see it and see if it was up to our standards, because we're from Cleveland and they knew that. So we went out and saw it. It was perfectly wonderful. Here's the property that it's on, owned by church people. They built their own chateau, complete with a vineyard. Mr. Kubik stayed there when he visited Australia. But it was absolutely wonderful. There's our host, Derek, and he gave no sign of the fact that on Tuesday he was leaving for Vanuatu, which is one of the feast sites where the Australians helped them out. They discovered that there were brethren on the island nation of Vanuatu. It has about 60 islands, I think, who had been part of Worldwide but had been ignored and had been set adrift pretty much by the church, and they've been keeping the holy days and the Sabbath and God's way of life for all that time, and they've just asked to be back in touch with us. The only trouble was, talk about a Feast of Tabernacles, there were four young men who went from Australia to build a tabernacle before services started. And yes, they got there on Tuesday, and yes, the tabernacle was ready on Wednesday night. So I've never been to a feast site like that, but you would never have known it from Derek. He fixed us the most wonderful food. He happens to collect beautiful antique furniture. We felt like we were staying in a French chateau or a museum or something. It was absolutely wonderful. He insisted on feeding us even when we weren't hungry. And of course, that was Day of Atonement. So this is all something that happened later. But I just wanted to show you a picture of Derek. He did get back from Vanuatu, and I'm told that he was a hero in Vanuatu, but they can't tell me why yet. So I have to stay living to find out why we're proud of Derek for what he did in Vanuatu. Well, anyway, we said yes, and Derek, he showed us how he fed the magpies and the butcher birds. I have a recording of the birds that woke us up, the kookaburras, you know, with their woo-hoo-hoo-hoo and the magpies, which I can't imitate, but they're very musical, very beautiful. The bird life was just amazing, and we said to Derek that, yes, we did feel that he was quite up to our standards, and the next day we would move in, but first we had to go to atonement services, and we did. He took us there, and then he took us back to our Airbnb. Well, meanwhile, the biggest event in 25 years in Brisbane was taking place in the South Park, so this is deceptive. There were actually tens of thousands of people who had gathered there. We could not get to our Airbnb, and of course we were dying to get to our Airbnb because it was sunset, and we wanted water, and we wanted food, so we had to talk to, I finally just ducked behind the policeman and moved a barricade, and we ran up to our apartment, and we were okay. But there'd been arrangements made that we would have dinner that evening at Mado, which was the Turkish restaurant. This is taken from our balcony. I mean, that's how many restaurants there were. And we did meet up with the Robertsons. We had a wonderful breaking of our fast. And that night, they were, I have a video of it, but it didn't transfer to the photos. Well, I think I can find it. There was the biggest fireworks show all up and down the river that had been put on for 25 years. They were celebrating their 25th anniversary. And as we sat there, we were watching the fireworks. And that doesn't even show them very well. They were just amazing, because all up and down the river they were barges, and every bridge was lit up. Here's Derek feeding his friendly magpies. We knew we liked him very much. We knew it beforehand, but once we saw him feeding the birds, he would throw mincemeat, which we know is hamburger, up in the air, and they would catch it. And then this was on the property. I don't know. I hope you can see it, but there's actually kangaroos hopping around there. They really do live in the wild. They're like our deer, and people complain about them because they come in and eat their gardens. It was just absolutely wonderful. And while we were at his property, I put my binoculars down and I said to Taya, I'm sure I just saw a sea eagle, which is a very unusual bird. And I said, I can't possibly have seen one. And I asked Derek, and he said, oh no, they're nesting on the property, a big, beautiful white eagle. So the next morning, he took us back to our apartment. The next morning, there's the Robertsons and us at the Turkish restaurant. They were very kind to us there, and of course we would have liked anything that night. It was the breaking of the Atonement Fast. They have their teenage daughters are in the back, Victoria and Stephanie. So the feast hadn't even started. The next morning we got up, and now we could walk through the park, and now we could go to the cafes. And this cafe was so beautiful and so wonderful, and Tay and I enjoyed it so much that I took a picture and posted it on Facebook, not thinking that it was an hour till sunset in Cleveland at that point. Of course, my reply is, why are you on Facebook on the Day of Atonement when everyone knows that 1 hour before sunset you should be napping on the Day of Atonement? Anyway, it was just an absolutely delightful morning. We were quite taken with their money. This is their 5-cent piece, which has a little echidna. I don't know if you can see it, the little hedgehog animals curled up on it, but each one of their coins has an animal on it. And then this one, they just came out with a series that has a little ring. It's supposed to look like opal around it, but a lot of their money is in color, which I'd never seen before on the coins. We'll bring some of that when we have the potluck on December 30th. This was the type of thing that was underfoot at the parks. There were mosaics. It was just so beautiful, beautiful water gardens. And then that day, I'm just going to skip through these for the sake of time. This is at the Botanical Gardens. I walked over to a bridge. Those are ibises. I don't know if you can see their curved beak. I love them. The Australians hate them. They say that they get into the garbage and spread disease, but the ones I talked to were just fine. It was kind of like sheep in the meadow. I thought they were just beautiful. You can see some of the giant trees in the botanical gardens. But actually, the South Park was just as beautiful. I left Taya sitting there because she didn't feel like walking that far. But that day, we got on a boat right here at this ramp, which had beautiful colors of bougainvillea, and took a boat ride. There's me in my foreign correspondence hat. Up the Brisbane River, and it was up, and it's very windy. It took a long time, but it was a very enjoyable trip, and we went to the Lone Pine Koala Sanctuary, and it turned out to be one of the highlights of our trip, and there really were koalas. They do a lot of research, and they take injured animals or diseased animals and bring them back to health and things like that. So it really is a sanctuary. That's why it was developed. But of course, they have a lot of other wildlife there too, which we enjoyed. That was my favorite koala. And I think that was right after Luke had been born, and I was in the soft and cute mode there. I was thinking of him when I saw that little baby koala asleep in the crook of a tree. But there were other animals there too. This was a friend I made. And the kangaroos had to have a rest area because after a while, they didn't want to be petted by one more person, so they gave them a place where they could retreat. There's Stephanie Robertson and one of our new friends. This, though, was my best friend I made that day. Emus walking around, and then they tell you after you've stood there and petted them that they can disembowel a human being with one kick. But you don't find that out till afterwards. Some of the beautiful native flowers that grow, these were all over the place. We saw platypuses and echidnas. They call this a bush turkey, and you can see why. It walks around kind of like our American turkeys. But there were many kinds of birds. This is a black cockatoo that we saw, and the only reason I include this is when we went up to the feast site, these were flying all over the place. I mean, they would fly past us on the balcony, and they're quite loud and screaming, but it's a whole different world down there. That's one of the 10 most deadly snakes in the world. Australia's very proud of that kind of thing. Let's skip that. Jeff insisted on that picture. And because it was no longer Day of Atonement, we were enjoying everything we could get our hands on. So when we rode back on the boat, that woman in the red was a stranger to us before the boat ride, but it turns out she was from Holland and from the same town Teo was from. So she was, I think, visiting her son there, and she just happened to walk by and thought, I think I'll take a boat ride. And we ended up sitting next to her. It was just a real, real blessing to us. That night, Derek had insisted, and of course we didn't refuse, that we come over for a lamb supper, so we did. The people who actually own this house were at the feast in Crete. Mark Robertson. I think you would have met him, yeah. Although they might have been in Singapore for the Day of Atonement at that point. So we knew they would recognize this wall, so we sent them greetings from Mark and Taya's new place. Because it was where we were staying till the feast began. This is just some more of their property. I don't know if you can see the kangaroos down below by the road. These were eucalyptus trees. We were out. They made the foolish decision to give us a golf cart so we could drive around the property. And I practiced my driving on the left-hand side of the road at that point. But I don't know if you can see me down there. I'm the teeny little, those trees were about 200 feet tall. I'm the teeny little figure down at the base there. And that's the native forest there. There's another kangaroo that came up to see us. The next day, we spent at the Robertson's house because Jeff and I, part of coming to Australia was he wanted to do a lot of music together. So we did, and they had this jacaranda tree in front of their house that was just beautiful. And then we had dinner at their house in the evening. That's his mother on my left. And then that's Roxanne's father in the blue shirt. He lives in a house on their property. So it was just an absolutely wonderful time. We were so happy, and we hadn't even been to the feast yet. This was all before the feast. So the next morning, Tuesday, I look happy. Derek gave us a big breakfast, and that's enough to make me happy, of course. But what's really going through my mind is this was what the day we were going to pick up the rental car, and I was going to start driving on the left-hand side of the road and cause mayhem in Eastern Australia. So I honestly was not doing very well at that point. Derek took us to the car rental place. They were very solicitous of us, and Jeff put me in the car, and we drove around the quiet neighborhood. He'd picked this rental place so I could practice driving before we hit the freeway and things like that. And every intersection, I would turn on the windshield wipers because I thought it was the blinkers. That's the way you identify American drivers over there, is they turn their windshield wipers on at every intersection. And then they took us to the freeway. We were going to go up one day before they were to the feast site and get in our unit there. And they took us to the freeway, and as they peeled off to the left and we kept driving on the freeway, apparently Roxanne said, you know, they just leave the nest so early. And it's time they were out on their own. So the Grahams drove north to what they call the Sunshine Coast, which was the actual feast site. And this was the unit that they had found for us. Of course, we paid for it, but they actually found it. We were right on the next to the top balcony on the sixth floor, and we had views of the, as some of the gardening on the grounds, we had views of the beach from our balcony and birds flying around. As a matter of fact, when we checked into our room, this little lorikeet and a buddy of his were sitting on our balcony. And they were just flying around. There's many kinds, different colors. I'd seen them at the Cleveland Zoo, but to just have them flying around and screeching was a wonderful thing. These were mina birds that were all over the place. They're called noisy miners. That's part of their name, and maybe you can guess why. These were views from our balcony. We were very happy with the unit. It was just beautiful. And Tay and I went down the next morning and walked on the beach. It was the day, it was Wednesday, so the feast services would be beginning that night. And I'm just, I know I don't have much time. I will probably go over just because I like showing these pictures so much. If you need to get up and go do something, feel free. But it was just so wonderful to walk on the beach every morning. It wasn't always so clear in the sky. One of my goals was to see the Southern Cross when we went down there, and every night it was overcast, so we never saw stars, period. So it's a reason to go back at some point, but just beautiful beach. And in the area, we were two blocks from a shopping center we could walk to. We drove there the first time and then decided all of Australia would be much happier if we just walked. So we did, but we were, it was just a lovely situation. This was the meeting hall where we had services. It's a, the name of it is the Lake Kawana Community Center, and they've used it before. It looked to me like it was built out of Lego or something. It was a very, very attractive building. They have their own architecture there. And these were the signs that were set up at the beginning. I didn't realize till later that our friend Jeff Robertson had done the graphics for these signs. He's a very talented man in all aspects of media production. And he did those banners. These were the flowers on stage. They're mostly Native Australian plants, just stunningly beautiful, very tall. The arrangements lasted all feast, and it was quite beautiful. This is Mr. Bill Bradford. He was welcoming us to services that night. I was happy because, number one, the full moon did peek out between the clouds, and I always love a full moon on the opening night. That's maybe my favorite night of the whole holy day year, is opening night of the Feast of Tabernacles. I was actually playing hymns that night, which is my favorite job. But this is Mr. Bradford. He's in charge of the work in Australia. He actually, though, was on the council. He's not anymore, and he and his wife are relieved. They don't have to do those flights. But he had a hand in our getting this church building. He was on the council when we were going through that. So when I met him, of course, we'd emailed before. The first thing he said was, how's your church building in Cleveland? So he knew about it. It was kind of fun. And, of course, opening night, this is Jeff Robertson next to me. I'm wearing my kangaroo tie. We all got name tags given to us. And this is a family named the Jenningses. Scott is next to me and his two sons, Austin and Aaron. But this was opening night. And if you recall, if you were at a United site opening night, there was a video of the song, How I Love Thy Law, O Lord. And then Mr. Kubik was in it. It was a welcome video for the feast. And there were little children in it narrating the verses, and it was Jeff that you heard singing in that video. He's the one who put it together, and that's the video that was mailed to us in April. I was kind of overcome that night. I emotionally a bit of a mess in this this evening because they had kept it a surprise from me, and I was very touched by it. I think I had actually sent the music to Clint Porter, who had done the video, and Jamie Scriber collected the pictures, of course, so it was definitely an international production. And it's on YouTube if you want to see it. You just search for Welcome 2017 Feast of Tabernacles, and it'll come up. I've watched it approximately 800 times, so when you see it. Anyway, it was just, it was one of the emotional highlights of my life to have that happen, and to see so many Cleveland people in the video. We even saw George. He doesn't know it, but we paused, and when we were watching it, we looked at people. And there's many of you who appear in the background. When it zips by, you don't see it. So that was awfully fun to be sitting so many thousands of miles away and seeing Cleveland people on opening night at the feast. It was just a beautiful evening. I led songs the next morning. I didn't get to pick the hymns because we had about seven piano players at the feast. I'd never been to a feast with so many riches, and most of them were men, just as it turned out. But Jeff waited till they had pictures projected in back of the song leader, and he waited till this one came up and took the picture. It wasn't that way the whole time. It just was one of the ones in passing. Talk about an egotistical photo, but there it is. This is one of our piano players, Noah Boyd, who is from somewhere in the Midwest, but he was at ABC last year. I recognized him. This is a young man named Ryda. We had many more, as I say. We had so many piano players, we couldn't use them all. And I haven't been to a feast like that in a long time. This is the congregation. This was taken the last great day. There's the side, the middle, and the other side. We're glad to have that picture. But if you notice Taya there in the third row talking to a young man, this was before services started. There's an empty seat. I'm not in the picture. I was up playing hymns. I was going to run down, but she was already filming. So we have the group shot. And I can tell you the names of at least half the people in there, I'll bet you. But it was just a beautiful group of people. And boy, did they sing hymns. It was kind of like Cleveland. You can see Jeff there in the second row singing. But man, when we led hymns, it just was very glorious. I'm sure God enjoyed it. There was a courtyard where we did a lot of our fellowshipping, and they served food there after services sometimes. And these are just shots of people in the courtyard. There's Mr. and Mrs. Bradford. He was the festival elder, and as I said, he oversees the Australian work. The Australian work is very active. We somehow lost a magazine they gave us, but they're mailing us another copy that they print. It's beautifully produced, and it shows all the things that they're doing in Australia. And how many brethren, like Mr. Thomas was saying, it's not 20%. Most of the brethren are really engaged in that kind of thing. And they do things like go to other islands and other countries because of their geographical location. They just have to. It's part of their brethren and their work. And it's very exciting. When I get that magazine, I will bring it for people to see. That was us in the courtyard, obviously. Just good old Australian people. The woman in the middle took many of the photos that you'll see today. That's Derek's sister and his mother on the left and his niece on the right. Derek was in Vanuatu. These are two gentlemen whom I enjoyed. And this was what I called the card extortion table. They were selling cards that the young people had made. These are five of their finest, but it was usually staffed by 10-year-old girls. And yeah, that seems like a good idea, but these 10-year-old girls were ferocious. Every time I walked by, I think they would point at me and say, get him. And they would turn on their little girl smiles and say, but Mr. Graham, don't you want a card? And when I would say, I bought some yesterday, they would say, but we still have cards, and you need cards. And they're only, and the money did go to, I believe, digging wells in Africa. So I visited that table and got suckered into buying cards at least five times during the feast. And it turns out that they realized I was an easy target, so they just would wait till I came. And Taya visited the table just about as many times. Beware, little girls. This is Jeff and Judy Nelson. Alan's grandmother, Arnie Hopkins, told me I had to meet them, so now I can look Arnie in the eye again. But they were very nice people. Taya again. this is included just because they were some of my favorite people. These are Aussie blokes. Just had a good time talking to them. Couldn't understand half of what they said, but that was part of the charm. By the way, this was the first feast site I've ever spoken at where I had an accent. And people would tell me about it, too. No one ever used the word charming, just accent. These were the young people at the feast. I could not believe how many they were, and this picture is not complete. This was on the last great day. But it really affected the tone of the feast, and they were all engaged in church activities. They went to everything. They danced, and they helped the young people, and the little kids, and they participated. They volunteered to work. They sang. They were just beautiful, and they would come up and talk to you, which I really, really treasured. It made a big difference in our feast. They loved doing things together. This was their water sports day. And even in the evenings, they would keep hanging around with each other. Because, you never know what site the young people are going to gather at, and it just happens. I don't know how it happens, but there were at least half a dozen American young people who came over to be part of it, too. It was just wonderful. This is the Jennings family. They have a lot to do with the work in Australia. They live down in the Gold Coast. We spent one night with them at their condo. One of my best friends was Anthea in the front with the T-shirt with Minnie Mouse on it. She and I palled around a lot during the feast. This is Jeff and I going out to the beach. We would do that just about every morning. Taya got up earlier than I did, and she would already have been to the beach. So I think we only walked together once, but this is me and his daughter Stephanie on the beach. That's one of the things I will miss. There's Jeff leading songs. I spoke two times at the feast. I honestly still, to this day, think it was a typographical error. I think a cut and paste went funny at one point, and I ended up 2 days. And Jeff introduced me both times, and he was nice about it. We did special music a lot. There's his daughter singing, and we were the house band. There's Stephanie and my friend Anthea again. Then we had the family dance. This was the photo booth at the family dance. And I have never enjoyed a dance so much. They had a lot of called dances where they had a caller calling them out or teaching how to do the dances. They started out with regular dance music, but then as the evening progressed, I even got up and danced. Tay and I got up and danced. I mean, that's how miraculous it was. We don't do that. People getting carried away at the photo booth. And then halfway through, the price I had to pay for coming to Australia was we had to do a 30-minute John Denver tribute, which we did, Jeff and me. And it turned out to be a lovely thing. I like John Denver, but he died 20 years ago. So it was kind of a memorial. And they loved, his music has never died down there. That's why they requested that. I was dreading it before we went, but it turned out to be a very nice part of our feast. There's the children's choir the next day, and I know you had good children's choir at your feast too, and true to form, the two little boys who are separated by the girl in the pink in the front row were brothers, and they put on a show for us. The boy on the left was incredible with his dance moves and everything, and little brother on the right thought it would be a good idea to poke him in the eyes to keep him under control. This is Ken and Ruthie Murray. One of the fringe benefits of our going to Australia that I hadn't thought about was many of Taya's Brickett Wood Ambassador College friends are there. I shouldn't say many, but a significant number. And she knew Ken and Ruthie, who were both from Australia, when they were in Brickett Wood. So I'm the odd man out here. They're the pals. Ken Murray is just a delightful person. Maybe you've heard him. He has sermons online. Just a force of nature. We really enjoyed spending time with them. This is Daniel and Linda Porteous. He oversees the New Zealand work, and they were there because it was their year to flee New Zealand and relax in Australia. Usually he oversees the feast there. She's American. I knew her mother in Washington State. Just some area beauty. And then this was the family day. They advertised it as a sausage sizzle, and I didn't know quite what to expect. It turns out it's what we would call hot dogs, but they're very fancy, wonderful, messy hot dogs. So here's two men enjoying sausage sizzle. The people who served were just joyful and wonderful. Everybody pitched in. It happened to be right across the street from where we were staying. We could see it from our balcony, and everyone was having a good time. One of the things we enjoyed most, besides talking to the young people, was talking to the old people and hearing their stories of trials that they had been through. In many ways, it was a little bit like going back in time. Many of them still remember quite well the Herbert Armstrong days and the work that was done there. And the Dennis Luker was in Australia for quite a while, and I believe Bob Fay was there, and they had many stories of the hardships they'd been through, and we just very much enjoyed listening to stories. These men all bought plaid shorts and decided they would wear them the same day, and they did this just to embarrass their teenage children. That's Daniel Porteous in the middle, who's from New Zealand, as I said. They had face painting, little sisters kind of wondering about it, and then she really wondered about it. But it was just a nice day. Then in one of the trees, somebody noticed this bird. It's a tawny frog mouth. It's not an owl. It's kind of like our whippoorwills in the United States, but there were two babies there also. It was nesting in the tree. And a professional photographer, Corian, took this picture. And the birds never flew away. We were like 5 feet under them, just staring up at them. And it was astonishing. Taya took this picture. You can see how well they blend in, and they look like sticks or wood. it was hard to notice them, but someone did, and it was quite astounding. I only put this picture in because that's our unit over the woman's shoulder there. So that's how close we were to Family Day. There's Teddy Roosevelt with some of his friends. That's me in the hat, in case you can't tell. They were nice anyway. That's Mr. Bradford and Scott Jennings again. Everybody was there. Someone from one of the islands, I think Samoa or something, decided it would be a terribly good idea if we did this team game called Coconut Towers. To this day, I don't know what Coconut Towers is about. I don't know what the goal was, but we all ran around, and you can see the girl on the right there is holding a pile of coconuts, and we had to build a pile of coconuts, and we had to knock it down. I got into the knock it down part. I couldn't get into the building part. Just some more other people. That's our hostess, Roxanne, on the left there. Then we had enough people from ABC to have what they called the ABC choir sing. They were pretty good. As I said, the special music was very fine there the entire time. That's just us in front of the flowers. I think I'll skip through these quickly. These are just sightseeing in town of Caloundra. I had to put that in. We did not pick the restaurant. And we did not have hog. This was in the area of Caloundra, though. It was the area where Steve Irwin hung around when he was a young man and surfed there. And that's a memorial statue to him and his two children, Bindi and I can't remember his son's name, but his children are both highly involved. There's a zoo in the area, which we didn't go to, but you can see they're holding a crocodile, which just shows they're all crazy. Then near the end, we went up in what they call the hinterlands, which means away from the ocean, and there's the Glasshouse Mountains, which were named by Captain James Cook when he so-called discovered Australia. There were already people there, so it's doubtful that he discovered it, but he was the first Englishman we know to have seen it, and one thing led to another, and now it's part of the Commonwealth, but they were just glorious mountains, and there's Jeff and me in front of the mountains. It was our opportunity to go into some of the Australian rainforest also, which was rainforest and very jungly. There's some bromeliads growing on a tree that day in the town of Montville, and beautiful flowers in the area. But we were nearing the end of the feast, and we were already starting to get sad. This was my last walk on the beach. Jeff must have taken the picture and sent it to me. I don't even remember, but that's the part that I will miss. When I posted that on Facebook, Sally Beamer, who many of you know from Houston, said, "I didn't know there were beaches in Ohio." Which riles me on two counts. Number one, there are beaches in Ohio, but but of course it wasn't Ohio, and that's what I will miss. I led songs the last day. This is Alexi. Alexi and his friend Josh came up to me and said they thought it would be a terribly good idea. They basically hijacked song services is what they did, but Alexi was very persuasive. And he said, on one of your songs that has four verses, you need one verse where the women sing, one verse where the men sing, and then you need a verse where the children sing. And I said, well, do you think that would work? And Alexi said, it will work. I'm going to sing. So we did a four-verse song. It was the last great day, and I felt they hadn't done enough Mark Graham songs, so I did them all. But it's just the price they pay for putting me on song leading. And we did one of the songs, and we had women on the first verse, men on the second verse, and I was dreading the third verse. And, man, you should have heard those children sing. They just belted it out. Very uplifting. And Alexi and I fist bumped afterwards, so he was my pal. On the last great day, they have a tradition of taking pictures behind the building. There's a nice lake in the back, and I was totally honored to be dragged out there. Of course, this is only a few of the young people, but they all wanted their picture taken, and I was very happy about that because they really made my feast. And right before they snapped the shutter, Jordan behind me grabbed me, gave me a big hug, which I will always treasure. This was just a young man from the United States who has moved there and married an Australian girl. This is the young people again. It's just part of their feast to do this picture taking, and they compare them every year. This again was the Robertsons and their two daughters on that last great day. Just absolutely lovely people. And this was sunset from our balcony that last night. It was kind of a nice way to say goodbye. I was terrified, of course, the next day, because now I had to drive in urban Brisbane, and we were returning the rental car, but it was like one last level of the video game that I had to pass. And we did it, thanks to signs. We had a rule, by the way, in Ohio. Taya's very nice about my driving. She's quiet even when there's reason not to be. But in Australia, all the rules were off. Anyone could yell, scream at any time, give advice. It was fine. And I appreciated it. It worked. No one died, which was my goal. So we're back at the Brisbane airport. This was some of the Aboriginal artwork in mosaics on the floor, a very friendly airport. And who was at our gate but Noah Boyd, who was one of the hymn players. And it was kind of nice to have, you know, we were starting to have feast recovery. We were feeling a bit sad, and it was fun to have Noah on our flight. It was like a piece of the feast. And then we're flying over the Pacific, which took a long time. But this time it was during the day, and we could see islands and things. It was, the crew made it as nice as they could. It's still just a long flight. Then when we got to Atlanta, there was this couple sitting there, obviously dazed by their own feast, but we had a good time, and we also met Autumn and Chris Smith and their boys there, too. We all rode back to Cleveland together, so it was a nice welcome home. As perhaps you can tell, we had a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles. I haven't even mentioned the messages, because I'm sure the ones at your feast were good too, but I brought them all back on a memory stick so I can listen to them again. They were very uplifting, and of course you never know what the theme is till near the end of the feast when you see how it's all come together. But we had some of the happiest times of our life. If you'll turn to Deuteronomy 16, I know that the cool feast verses are in Leviticus 23. I mean, that's where you ought to go. But Leviticus tells you what you're supposed to do during the feast, whereas Deuteronomy 16 tells you how you're supposed to feel. And in Deuteronomy 16 and verse 13, it says, "Celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your winepress." And if you remember, these are the verses that were in the feast welcome video. "Be joyful at your feast, you, your sons, daughters, your men servants and maidservants, and the Levites, the aliens, and the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns. For 7 days, celebrate the feast to the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete." That's the way we felt at this feast. I know you did too, but we had never had more happiness compressed into 8 days. I said that yesterday to Jeff, because one of the nice things about 2017 is you could just text with each other. The problem is Australians sleep at weird times. And apparently my dinging wakes them up, and I'm supposed to be careful about this. But I said that to Jeff, that I just had never had so much happiness compressed into a short space. And he said, "But I think that's the point, isn't it, of the Feast of Tabernacles?" And there'll be a time that comes when distances don't matter, and we'll all be there. It was just an absolutely beautiful time, and I will be wearing my kangaroo pin for a long time, in memory of all the friends and all the memories that came to us in the land down under.